Joining us now to weigh in is Congressman Steve King of Iowa. Congressman, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me back, Brian. I appreciate it.
Congressman, what did you get from the president's remarks yesterday?
Well, not very much. And, it sounds more like dither to me, and it sounds more like excuses to me. And, you know, it's pretty similar to the remarks he made about Iraq when he said a few weeks ago, it's not going so great, I've got some options, I'm going to think about it, and I'm going to ask somebody else, require somebody else to do something before I do anything. Essentially this, that he wants $3.7 billion, and he might think about enforcing the border if we send him another $3.7 billion, Brian. That's really the bottom line on the president's remarks. And if he's holding back on calling the National Guard down to the border, as holding them as a hostage in order to get $3.7 billion more in funding for judges and lawyers, so that now each of these illegal kids can have all the rent, heat, subsidy, welfare programs, and their own Obamacare policy, and now they get their own lawyer. This is breathtakingly outrageous, and so beyond the realm of Americanism. I just can't believe that America hasn't risen up yet and had more demonstrations like we've seen in Murrieta, California.
He says, and Murrieta, California is where the people stood in front of buses and said, you cannot bring these illegals here. Here's the president yesterday. He blames you guys.
And I had to remind him, I'm getting sued right now by Mr. Boehner, apparently, for going ahead and acting instead of going through Congress. Well, here's a good test case. Is Congress prepared to act to put the resources in place to get this done? I'm interested in securing the border. So as I explained, as far as I could tell, the only disagreement I had with Governor Perry was that he wanted me to go ahead and do it without Congress having to do anything. We'll do what we can administratively. I think the useful question, not simply for the governor, but for John Boehner and Mitch McConnell and the other members of the Texas delegation is, why wouldn't you go ahead and pass a bill to give us additional resources to solve the very problem that you say is urgent?
So you say it's if he had comprehensive immigration reform, there would be no problem.
Why? Well, Brian, I laugh because he wants the Senate Gang of Eight bill. And, you don't have any more, illegal drug abusers if you legalize illegal drugs. You don't have any more illegal aliens if you legalize illegal aliens. The Senate Gang of Eight bill is instantaneous amnesty for everybody that's here unless they are a felon. And it's prospective amnesty for anybody who could get here. And it's retroactive amnesty for anybody that was deported in the past. They get to reapply and come back to America. So that's not about securing the border. It's not about border security. This is a political statement on the part of the president. And it takes a high level of hubris for him to say, Congress needs to send me more money. I'm interested in securing the border. No, he's not. He's got all the resources he needs. He's got all the current law. He can fix all of this if he chooses. The other side of this is our discussions here in this Congress among those who do care about securing the border, they come down to this. There is really, in the end, nothing that we can do in the United States Congress to make this president keep his oath of office and secure our borders from this invasion. There are only a few people in America that do have that authority to do that if the president doesn't. One of them is Governor Rick Perry of Texas. If I were he, as Commander-in-Chief of the Texas National Guard, I would order my guard down to the border. I'd ask them to take an oath of allegiance to the governor of Texas, and when the president steps in and tries to federalize the Texas National Guard, we need to say, no, you're violating your constitutional duty. We're fulfilling it. We're going to secure the border. And by the way, here in Congress, I'll fund the Texas National Guard and any reinforcements to them. I'll initiate that appropriation so that they get paid by the federal government for the job that needs to be done by the federal government is not being done by order of the president. He has ordered his people not to enforce the law, and in doing so, he's ordering them to violate the law. And that's just the facts of the circumstances we're in, Brian.
Congressman, I don't know why I didn't think of it sooner. Why didn't Governor Perry do that with his own National Guard when he knows he can?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, and I have encouraged him to do this. And I think he's
what
a strong
has he said
and bold
to you
leader.
when you said that to him?
Well, when I did, he said he was looking at the certification process and looking at federal funding, and that told me that there was probably some legal questions he wanted to look at. I'll say this, that the president has created a constitutional crisis, and we can either live with 2.5 years of an open border with tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, in fact, millions of people pouring into the United States and watch our border be scrubbed away and erased by this feckless president, or we can step up and fill the hole. And there's nobody that can fill that hole in Texas if the president won't, other than Rick Perry. And that probably also applies in Arizona and not so much in New Mexico and not quite as much in California.
You know, I'm reading, I was talking to Stuart Varney here, who went ahead and did the math on how much the president has earned over the last few days of these fundraisers at $31,000 a plate. And he ends up in Texas, 200 miles from the border. It's almost in your face. I'm not going to the border, and I'm not changing my schedule because of your so-called crisis because you won't pass immigration reform. I don't get the mindset.
It's a hostage mindset. I will pull my chips back and just let you suffer with a great big gaping wound we have in our border and continue to encourage people to come into America. This is raw politics. And here's another thing that I learned, Brian, and that is that you would think that even though there are some Democrats that are calling for securing the border, people like Nancy Pelosi, Zoe Lofgren, the ranking member on the Immigration Subcommittee, they don't want to secure the border. They want these kids to come into the United States. They believe that it's too dangerous for them down there, and that's what they're saying anyway, and that we need to bring them into America. It is true that 8 of the 10 most violent countries in the world are south of Mexico in this hemisphere, but it's also true that there's only one of them more dangerous than the city of Detroit. So if they're going to try to bring kids into America because they'll be in a safer place, better not take them to Detroit because they're likely to be in a more dangerous place, Brian.
Oh, Chicago, which yes. might be as dangerous. Congressman Steve King, our guest. So why haven't you guys initiated your own version of immigration reform? Was that a mistake?
No, I don't think so. Because whatever we would bring here in the House and send to the Senate, it's sitting there waiting for the Senate to attach their full-blown amnesty bill on it, the Gang of Eights bill, and send it back to the House. That turns the pressure up on the House, and if a couple of dozen Republicans decide to cave in, then every Democrat will vote for it because they know that the Senate Gang of Eights bill documents undocumented Democrats. That's the purpose on this thing. And, you know, nobody really believes that Democrats would be for this if they thought they were legalizing Republicans. They have it's almost by now a naked political agenda on this. And so as long as people can keep pouring into America the way they are, most Democrats are happy about it, not all of them. Henry Cuellar is not happy about it, and I gave him a good handshake last night and thanked him for it. But we have a political agenda on this part. They don't care about the rule of law. They don't see borders the same way we do. They don't see the borders, language, and culture issue as being those three things define a nation. That's who we are. They're transforming this nation.
But that's true. Congressman, it's hard to argue with that, but it's also true the tech center wants immigration reform, and so does the agriculture, hardworking farmers and Silicon Valley. So how do you respond to them as well as understand that there might be a method to the madness?
Okay. Well, the reality of Silicon Valley is that we're graduating many high-tech workers, information technology people, and we've got about twice as many degrees out there in this society as are actually working in information technology. They're driving wages down through this, but I'm not really even opposed to that. As long as we capped our legal immigration where it is and then upgraded the standards for those who are coming in legally, I could deal with Zuckerberg and Bill Gates and others with their initiative, which, by the way, a lot of that ends up in their pocket, but I'm not opposed to people getting rich. So that's a piece of it. The farm worker side of this, you know, in every single profession, every job in America, there's still a majority of Americans doing those jobs. And I've spent my life in the construction business. We hire into those, we hire people from those universes, and we have legal employees. We find a way to get it done, and we raise our wages and our benefits package until we get the people on the job that we need. And there are 104.1 million Americans of working age who are not in the workforce. I can't be convinced that out of them, if you need an employee, you can't hire one out of 104.
Well, maybe they, that's a good point. Congressman Darrell Issa was on with us on Fox and Friends this morning. Lois Lerner, his emails have been exposed to show that she knows she was being looked at and warning her colleagues that your emails could be subpoenaed. What does that tell you about the IRS investigation, and are you one who believes that there's a lot of there?
I think there's a lot there, and I am not convinced that there's an investigation going on by the FBI. I can't be convinced that Eric Holder is sincere at all. on getting to the bottom of this thing from a criminal investigation. And there's too much evidence that it's a real target of the president's enemies, and that Lois Lerner has gone a long ways out of her way to try to encourage people to, let's say, not create any more evidence. That was evidence in Darrell Issa's interview this morning. We also know that there have been resolutions of inquiry introduced by Steve Stockman of Texas, five of them, four of them qualified. I know that one's coming before the Judiciary Committee. There's some reticence among some that we shouldn't move that kind of a resolution of inquiry at least on its face, because there's an ongoing investigation. I'll make this statement here on your radio program, Brian. I do not believe there is a legitimate ongoing investigation by the FBI under the Department of Justice. I think it's a slow walk. I think it turns into a cover-up, and I think the scandal in the IRS is worse than Watergate.
Tell me about your Senate race in Iowa.
Well, with Joni Ernst is the question, and she is a terrific candidate.
Came out of nowhere.
She sure did, and I met her in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the night at Camp Arifjan in the border of Iraq in Kuwait, where she was a captain, commanding a unit, a transportation unit, the 1168. That they were hauling men and equipment and supplies into Baghdad over the road from there. And here she is, a mother of a four-year-old, a husband of an Army Ranger. I went back to visit her little girl and her husband back 10 years ago, and encouraged her to get involved in public office. And she put out, through that, county auditor, now state senator, now candidate and nominee for the United States Senate, lieutenant colonel now in the Army, and her mom, a state senator. She checks the boxes along the way, attractive and personable. And has deep convictions, and she's a pretty good shot as well. I'm sure she's the best shot on the ticket, Brian. I think she's pretty good with a knife, but I'm not going to test that one.
Well, yeah, we know about her. She's the one who had that famous commercial that just says she's castrating hogs, right?
Hogs. I think that will go down in history as the best political commercial in the history of the country.
I think so. But it resonates with the people of Iowa. But that's going to be a tough race. Well, and Republicans need it if they want to, in fact, take the Senate.
And yes, if Joni Ernst wins the United States Senate race in Iowa, then I'll say that will be the seat that is the majority in the United States Senate. That changes a lot of the dynamics of what we're doing here in Congress. And she is the linchpin to the majority, and she is a terrific gal and a great friend and a good mom.
Well, she has a lot of responsibility, but she's used to having a lot of responsibility. It's game on up until November. It's going to be exciting. Congressman Steve King, thanks so much for your time in these very consequential times.
I enjoyed every minute of it. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, and have a great Friday.